thankful for your presence this morning. It's good to see everyone. We have out with us. We have several of our own members who, as were announced this morning, are away or unable to be with us. But we have several who are visiting with us. This is a time of year for people to be traveling. And so we're thankful that all of you are able to be with us this morning. Of course, on our minds today, can't help but be thinking about the news and the events that we've been hearing throughout the country, the violence and the unrest that is going on so far. And, you know, I've listened to some of that. I haven't listened to all of it. I'm aware of what's happening. A little bit of it goes a long way with me. I get tired of the speculations, and I get tired of some of the, you know, placing of blame and that type of thing and the attempts at that. I think there's plenty of blame to go all the way around, but I would like to get to the heart of the matter. You know, one of the things that I've heard this past week and really in the past several weeks is, you know, what's happened to our country? You know, why are people acting like this? Why is it that we gain so much ground on these issues and now it seems like it's going back the other way? Well, there might be a lot of things that go into that, but there's one root element that it goes to, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. I was pleased when Stephen read from Proverbs chapter 4 this morning before our Bible class, because several of the passages that we're going to look at this morning are from Proverbs. In Proverbs 12 and verse 5 and 6, it says, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lying in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver him." Why do we have so many people calling for the blood of others? The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood. Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 through 23. "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among his brethren." You know, we highlighted hands that shed innocent blood there, but could have highlighted all of it, couldn't we? Could have highlighted that whole thing. That's what we've seen this whole past week. "My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So I want to talk this morning about the way of violence. Now the word violence here that we're going to be looking at is an interesting word. It has to do not only with violence or physical violence upon one person, upon another person, or a group of people upon another group of people, but also has to do with injustice. We've seen that this past week. We're going to continue to see it, I'm afraid. What is the way of violence? It's a lengthy reading. It's all of Proverbs chapter 1, but it's a good reading. There's a lot that's revealed here. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, "Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us, and let us have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely, in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." Sinners, come with us. Cast your lot in with us. The weak, the innocent, we will prey upon them, and we will take what they have and we will make it ours. Where does it all come from? Where does that way of thinking, how does that begin in people? Notice what he said up here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The sinners, the wicked, are among the latter part of that. The fools who despise wisdom and instruction. They do not fear the Lord and the instruction of the Lord. Why is there no respect for the lives of others? But there is no respect for the fact that God has created us in His image to live to His glory. We continue here in verse 20. It says, "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." Wisdom cries out, do not continue in your ignorance. Do not continue in your rebellion. Do not continue to turn aside from God. Listen to me, because I have called for you, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no one regarded. Remember what we saw this morning in our adult Bible study? About the two lampstands and the two olive trees? That's wisdom here speaking. That's the Word of God speaking. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distresses and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. The way of violence is the way of violence and destruction. We think we can get away with mistreating people, of promoting ourselves and putting other people down. But the Word of God, the Word of wisdom tells us you're only deceiving your own self. And while you're trying to destroy others, it's yourself that you are destroying. You see a common thread here. That the failure to revere God will result in the failure to keep His commandments. And the failure to keep His commandments will result in the failure to glorify God. And the failure to glorify God results in destruction. If you can keep those key thoughts in mind, you will have the answer to every sin and condition of man in sin that you can imagine. Why are we destroying ourselves? Because we're not trying to glorify God. And we don't want to glorify God because we don't want to keep His commandments. And we don't want to keep His commandments because we don't revere God. And we don't revere God because what have we done to God? We've taken Him out of the schools. We've let the scientist tell us that there is no God. We've let the abortionists tell us that there is no value to life. We failed to revere God and who He has revealed we are and all that we can be before Him. And because we do not revere Him, we will not serve Him. And because we do not serve Him, we are destroying ourselves. In Genesis chapter 6, the days of Noah, verses 11 through 13, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth." Where does all this violence come from? Where does the injustice come from? Where does the sin come from? It comes from them, God says. The thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. Yeah. That's what happens when you fail to revere God. You turn to your own thoughts and your own imaginations and ways that seem right and feel right to you. And those ways that seem right and feel right are going to change from time to time and from generation to generation. And there is no absolute truth. And people say, well, what is truth? There's an answer to that question. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What is truth? It's asked as a rhetorical question. But it's an objective. There's an objective answer to that question. The Word of God is truth. I will destroy them from the earth for their violence, for their hatred, for their injustice, for their evil thoughts. What happened here? They failed to revere God. They failed to keep His commandments. They failed to glorify God, and God said, I will destroy them. Many people have said, why have we come to this dark time in the history of our country, and indeed in the history of the world? Whether we're talking about racism or injustice or the rise of radical Islam, why have we come to this dark time in our world? What's happened? Well, you just need to realize that darkness is the absence of light. Darkness doesn't overcome the light. Light just needs to go away. Now, we could have somebody go back there and knock off all of those light switches back there, and it would get darker in here, wouldn't it? Why? Did the darkness overwhelm the light? No. The light just went away. So why have we come to a dark time in our country and in the world? Men love darkness rather than light. They chose the way of darkness rather than the way of light. They've turned off the light. It's a big difference in the makeup of the culture of the United States today and the culture of the United States when it declared its independence from Great Britain. When people appealed to the God of nature and the rights that He has entrusted to them. We realize that we're throwing our God-given rights away when we choose to walk in the darkness rather than the light. People say, why is it that people hate each other so much? Well, what is hate? Hate is the absence of love. You take away love, and if you're not taught how to love and love correctly, if you're just taught to love yourself, well, that's what people are taught today. People are taught to love themselves today, to be your own celebrity today. We have people making millions of dollars on television. They're identified as celebrities, and they haven't contributed anything to the good of humanity. They have no skill. They're just a celebrity. Why? People say, well, I can do that. I want people to be enamored with me. And so we start focusing upon self and what is love? Love focuses upon others. Love is a sincere interest in the welfare of others. Not a sincere interest in my welfare. It's a sincere interest in the welfare of others. But we've become a me, I generation and culture. And so we have hate. Because genuine love is absent. God is the source, the true source of light and love. I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the light of the world. 1 John tells us that God is love. If we want to know how to be a light, a true light, we need to go to Him. If we want to know how to love correctly, we need to go to Him. So why don't we? Because there is no reverence for God. Where there is no reverence for God, His commandments will not be kept. His good works will not be seen. And He will not be glorified. His light will not be seen, and His love will not be known. Hate will deceive the heart, and violence will fill the earth. That's where we are today. And if you want to know why violence has filled the earth, just go back up to the first one. There is no reverence of God. We have taught one another not to revere God. But what is the way of God? It's light that overcomes darkness. It's love that overwhelms hate. And God is the source of that true light and true love. Where there is reverence for God, His commandments will be kept. His good works will be seen. He will be glorified. His light will be seen. His love will be known. And so you hear people today saying, well, we need to get back to loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. I agree with that. But if you do not revere God, you will not get back to loving your neighbor as yourself. And you certainly will not get to the point to where you can love your enemy. But if we revere God, who so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, then we'll learn what it means to love our enemy. We'll learn what it means to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves for the survival, the spiritual survival of our fellow man. We need to speak the truth in love for the sake of those who will hear it and believe it and obey it. People will not revere God until they're taught the way of God. That's a hard road, isn't it? But we're the ones who can teach them, if we will. If we won't hide our light under a basket, if we won't keep what we know to ourselves, if we'll share it with others, if we'll treat other people the way we would want to be treated because we revere God and that's what God tells us to do. That's the only thing that's going to turn things around. It's become ridiculous. The things that are being put forth out there. I heard today that, I think it's the Washington Post. Was it the Washington Post? Was saying, well, what we need to do is disarm police officers. And that'll stop everything. Okay, well, let's take that to the next level. Let's disarm our military and then everybody will be happy. That's not the way it works, folks. There's a reason God gave us law and order and people to enforce that law and order. They do not bear the sword in vain. Now, do accidents happen? Do mistakes happen? Yes. Now, let me tell you something. Before you jump to judgment on these videos that are out there, these killings that happened last week, even at the hands of police officers, and you say, well, I saw the video. Now, did you see all of the video? Did you see everything that happened? Wait until all of the facts come out. I mean, how many times has this happened in the past? And we find out, wait a minute, there's more to the story than what the eyewitnesses are saying. Let's hear everything that's said before we jump to a conclusion. If an injustice has happened, people will answer for it. We don't need to rise up in hatred for one another, ever. When there is reverence for God, His commandments will be kept. Why do we have this turmoil today? There's no reverence of God in this country anymore. Oh, we give Him lip service. God bless America. We need to bless God. We need to start blessing God and His Word. It all comes back to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole. What's life all about anyway? Fear God and keep His commandments. This is man's all. This is the whole purpose of man. To fear God. Be afraid of God? No. Here it means to be in awe of God, to revere God, revere Him as the Creator, revere Him as the Savior, revere Him, honor Him, respect Him, be in awe of Him, and keep His commandments. What did Peter say at the household of Cornelius? In every nation, whoever fears Him and keeps His commandments will be accepted by Him. The principle hasn't gone away. It's not going to go away. Here's the answer to it all. Revere God and keep His commandments. If you miss that, you've missed the whole purpose of your life. And the end of that, the result of that, will be what we've seen here in Matthew 5 and verse 16. As Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You cannot glorify your Father unless His good works are seen in your life. Your light is reflecting His light. His light is shining through you, and you cannot do that unless you keep His commandments, and you will not keep His commandments unless you revere Him. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, it would be a sad thing if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, well, I believe in God. I believe that God is our Creator. I believe that Jesus is our Savior. I believe we should keep His commandments. And you know, I'm a pretty good moral person. I don't lie and cheat, and I don't practice injustice. I'll stand up for what's right. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if you lived your whole life like that, but you never turned from your sin? You sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You did it because you said, well, this is, I live my life my way. No, we need to live this life God's way, in reverence for God. So Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. Believe that I am He. Repent of your sins. Except you repent, you will perish. Have you repented? Have you given your life to Him? Will you live for Him? Have you confessed Him as the Son of God? Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins and risen to walk with Him in newness of life? If not, why not? Do you revere God or not? God tells you to do that. Are you going to be in rebellion to God? Or are you going to revere God? If you would agree that His life is the best life to live, then live it for Him, not for yourself. Live it to His glory, not to your glory. This is man's all. If you're here today and you are a child of God and you've lost sight of that and you need to return to His way, you need to have your brothers and sisters pray with you on your behalf, let it be known. We'd encourage you to come this morning as we stand and sing this song.